And good morning. Welcome in to the front porch here on this 24th day of April, 25. And, of course, Brian Marshall, side bottom the first. And, of course, across the way, Ken Cummins, the legend.
Good morning.
Good morning.
That's the way it is.
That's the rest of the
and
story.
And that's the way it was.
Uh-huh.
And that's the way it will be.
That's it.
I don't know for where I'm going with all of this, but good morning.
Well, I'm glad
Brian
you got
Marshall,
those
I feel better now.
Well, yeah.
Brian Marshall, side bottom the first. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I have now. You haven't found another one in all of Todd County or Logan County.
No. I'm the one and only.
And I would venture to say that you're the only side bottom family in these parts.
Yeah.
Have you in your life done a study on your surname, side bottom, for its origins?
It's an English name.
It is?
And I know we have a
code. It didn't sound German, side bottom some way.
Yeah, and I know we got a coat of arms, so.
You do?
Yeah.
I have two.
Do you?
Left and a right.
A left and right. Listen to him this morning. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But I do know that much.
Okay, well.
And I know there's not a lot of us around this area.
No, I'm just curious.
I know there's probably more up around Louisville area, Campbellsville, around that area, kind of central part of Kentucky. So.
Well, speaking of Kentucky, good grief. Man, dominating the news yesterday to our friends listening in Edible Lyon County, and I'm with you. Of course, the decision made by Travis Perry for the University of Kentucky Wildcats. I've been reading lots of posts, and I cannot believe that some of the rude things that some people have said.
Yeah.
This is just a new day in basketball, like it or not. But he, I'm guarantee you that he and his family prayed about this, looked at all, probably looked at the good for his career. Some say, oh, you stay in Kentucky, whether you stay on the bench or not, you'll get a job, a big job offer in Lexington, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
The young man, I do not know Travis. I've been gone out of the school systems for 10 years.
Yeah.
But from though I know many people that know him personally, and they have said that he's, one, a young man of integrity, two, that he's a Christian young man. That's obvious from things he said and the way he lives his life from all indications. And so he's a basketball player. From the seventh grade on, he played varsity.
Okay.
Kentucky's number one scorer, period, in breaking that record. And on top of that, I believe seventh in the entire nation at that point in the amount of points scored. So. Hey, just because he had kind of an off season, and really he had a good season considering all the odds against him.
Yeah.
But when you all this recruiting coming in from the NIL and all of these things coming in for Coach Pope bringing in the demand to bring the number 9 NCAA title on.
Yeah.
Well, they're spending that money to bring in these top notch players, and I'm sure. I mean, I'm surmising this.
Yeah.
But it seems like it's a win-win for both Travis and for the university. One, it's a win that they got the ones they wanted.
Yeah.
Now, let's get real.
That's true.
And secondly, he's going to go somewhere where he'll get to play.
That's it.
I admire him that he's just not going to ride the bench just because he wears Kentucky across his chest.
True.
I guarantee you, I do not know him. I can't guarantee anything.
Yeah.
But from all indications that Kentucky will always, that's his home.
Sure.
Means something to him, just like Reed Sheppard. Everybody jumping on Reed Sheppard when he went to the NBA draft. You can't bring these young men.
That's true.
And so be proud of him. Pray for him. And it looks like Ole Miss may get him. So I don't know that. I'm just what I read. I read a lot about these things, as you can tell.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been fascinating. So anyway.
There you go.
And to pray for him. I pray for all. I have no problem. It's a game.
It's a game.
It is a ball game.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Let's put this in perspective.
That's right.
All right. Let's get rolling. Brian Marshall, side bottom the first. And I'm going to talk about some post-resurrectional appearances of our Lord Jesus Christ.
The world needs King Jesus. Missionary Radio.
What'd that say?
It says the world needs King Jesus. Missionary Radio.
That's it.
You thought I was going to sing it, didn't you?
Well, I thought you was. I thought you was just fire it up.
Well, I can. That's the whole point of having a radio jingle.
Yeah.
So one, you'll know who we are, and then you'll be singing it all day. Like, well, I like that one. It says missionary.
Missionary.
No. Missionary.
Yeah.
Got to get it right there, Brian Marshall. It gets
in your head. That's for sure.
Well, you know, last Sunday was Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, right?
Really?
Do you realize that maybe the churches were a bit fuller?
Yeah.
I love this meme that's floating around. You ready for it?
I'm ready.
If you went to church this Easter, there's a 99.9% chance that they're having church this Sunday, too.
Really?
I would say it's 100% chance unless something happens, you know.
Yeah.
I guess they just gave that little thing in their case, weather or whatever.
Yeah, uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And we're gone.
Yeah.
But, all right, Brian Marshall, Sidebottom the First, here's your opportunity. Help me why the sudden that everybody loves Jesus on Easter Sunday, but the rest of the year there are no shows.
I'm going to be honest. I think it's just a lack of interest in church in general.
In church or Jesus?
I think it's Jesus.
Okay.
They could care less.
It appears that way.
And the thing is, it really gets me is if you ask a person, where are you going to go when you die? Most people will say, well, I'm going to heaven. But they don't even know who Jesus is.
Well, Brian, you have to bring up a point there that I'm going to talk about. We're going to talk this morning about the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
It was the resurrection when these disciples, who were some of them, even though they're truly left on to follow Jesus, mm-hmm. and they loved him, some they had different expectations as to what Jesus was going to be, mm-hmm. and some thought he would come rule and reign and set up a kingdom, and they wanted to be a part of it. In fact, he even had a discussion who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom.
Yes.
But the Jesus idea of a kingdom and what they were grasping is different. But even Peter, let's just take him. I'm going to jump way ahead of what I'm talking about, but let's just put that as a backstory. When Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ three times,
mm-hmm.
well, he says before the he did it, and he just lied, and then he wept bitterly.
Yeah.
But then when he saw Jesus resurrected,
mm-hmm.
changed his life.
Yeah.
And even the disciples, if you read of the Fox Book of Martyrs, how the disciples gave their life, and it's just amazing. Some of them didn't even want to be crucified or like Jesus, because he had died that way. They're just on and on.
Yeah.
And why would they leave everything that they have and abandon all and follow the Lord Jesus? Is it just, happy meals after the five loaves and two fishes? What was it? Now, I don't think that's it.
No.
I think there obviously is the resurrection. Now, I maintain if you truly know the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, you don't look for an excuse not to follow. You look for remove anything that's in your way to keep you from following Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Have I gone off my rocker here, Brian Marshall, Sidebottom the First?
No, sir. No, you're right.
Of course, you wouldn't say that since I signed your check.
That's right. That's right. But I agree with you, though.
No, in all seriousness, I'm just joking around. But seriously.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. And you think about that just for a moment, and I got excited in seeing all these folks attend church and having to go to different places. But let's realize that I think it's Kyle Eidelman who has a book, Are You a Fan or a Follower of Jesus Christ?
Mm.
A fan, for example, everything's wonderful, just like if you're winning. That you show up at the game,
mm-hmm.
and a fan just kind of follows along with the crowd. But Jesus gave a remarkable point of separation in John chapter 6
mm-hmm.
when he, after that five loaves and two fishes or the feeding of the multitude, and he talked about, are you willing to be baptized with the baptism which I am baptized with? And he talked about what it really means to follow him. Well, all of a sudden, he looks around. It's kind of like a hee-haw moment. You met another, and you were gone.
And yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's where I gave that silly analogy a while ago. Was it because the food was good?
Yeah.
Or not analogy, point. And I don't know. But I, of course, someone said, well, look at your own life. I really do. Am I examining myself? Am I truly a follower of Jesus, or am I a fan and a fair weather friend?
Yeah.
Yeah. What will cause one not, you know, church attendance is really Christianity 101.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get too excited on a special event when people show up.
No.
I know there's a lot of my pastor brethren are probably hitting the car speaker right now and said, can't believe you said that. I want to see people go, but I realize that's not all there is to it. Jesus said, if you be my disciple, and he named off these things that you must do in order to be his disciple. And when the disciples, and one of them, the remarkable one, is deny oneself, take up your cross daily, and follow Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's daily.
Daily.
Not just a year at Easter.
Yeah, or Christmas. That's the two most popular times.
To me, Christmas is wonderful. But for a Christian, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that's what it's all about.
Yes.
Or if he'd just been any other, quote, religious leader, Buddha's dead, he's in Muhammad, whether if we have a Muslim for him, I'm going to tell you, he's dead.
He's dead.
He can do nothing for you.
Mm-mm.
Joseph Smith, dead. Russell, dead.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ, the Son, the one and only, the Son of the living God, is alive.
Mm-hmm.
And when you meet him, your life is forever changed.
You know, I was listening to a guy the other day, a Christian comedian, a matter of fact, and he was talking about things that he said it's not in the Bible. And one of the funniest ones I think that I heard him say was, where is it a rule that you have to buy brand new clothes to go to church on Easter? He said it's not in the Bible.
No.
It's not in the Bible.
It's a tradition.
It's a tradition. We want to look our best on Easter.
Did you happen to – I saw your family photos. Tammy and I didn't make one. We didn't go to church together on Sunday.
Okay.
She went to our church where we go to church with our son.
Yeah.
And then I went to I was filling in, which I'm glad to do.
Yeah.
I was at, where was I? Oh, yeah, Providence Second Baptist Church.
Okay.
This past Sunday.
Okay.
And a delightful time. But I get to thinking, and I do that occasionally, believe it or not.
Wow.
I know it's a remarkable miracle. But when I saw that meme, sometimes I don't pay any attention to them. That's just what all started here to get my introduction rolling. Yeah, usually in my experience across the years, it doesn't make it a scientifically accurate.
Yeah.
But at the Sunday following Easter, at churches where I've been, are the lowest attended of the year. Mm-hmm. Not just because of the difference between the pageantry.
Mm-hmm.
And then the following Sunday, I don't know why.
Yeah.
But I think that we have misrepresented Jesus. And here's what I mean by that. Jesus talked about the cost of following him. Now, why would somebody want to give up mother, father, brother, sister? Why would somebody want to give up their jobs if Jesus said so?
Mm.
Why? What do you want Jesus, or what do you want?
That's true.
And what our goal is to have a relationship and to be a follower of Jesus, know that he's Lord and I'm not. He's king and I'm not.
Yeah.
He's going to judge the righteous and the living and the dead. He is the judge.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's look at as quickly as possible, but I wanted to bring those points out. Now, let me also say this. I realize, like, as the old cliche goes, I'm probably preaching to the choir this morning, because those that actually listen to Christian radio are really sincere Christians.
Oh, yes.
And those who listen to biblical teaching are even more serious than the same 10 songs all day long.
That's true.
And so I really believe that with all that's within me, and that's more than my opinion. I'm staking with that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's the resurrection appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are events that took place prior to his resurrection appearances. For example, let me just outline them real quick. The tomb is visited by some women for the purpose of completing the anointing of Jesus' body. You'll find that in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they wondered in their question, they wondered if the stone, who would roll away the heavy stone, but discovered it wasn't rolled away so Jesus could get out.
Yeah,
it was rolled away so by God Almighty, mm-hmm. with His legion of power, that they could look in and see
it.
That it's
That's
empty.
It. That's it.
When they entered the tomb, well, according to Luke 24:3, they found it empty.
Yes.
Suddenly, to show the power of God, they felt a great earthquake and saw an angel descending from heaven. That's Matthew 28:2-4, Mark 16:5, Luke 22:4. And the angel spoke and he said, here's where we're going to get to this morning. Fear not, he's not here. He is risen.
Amen.
And Matthew 28 will add this, go tell his disciples and remind them that he planned to meet them later in Galilee. And so they did. They ran and made this great report. Well, then we see there are 10 resurrection appearances of Jesus. 5 took place during the first Easter, so-called Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, and the final 5 would take the following 39 days, which would climax with Jesus' ascension. So that's a lot to bite off. So I'm probably just to tell you that when he does appear, mm-hmm. and he appeared to you and to me when we were convicted by the power of the Holy Spirit, yeah. and we said yes to Jesus. That same Jesus, the only one that appeared to these folks, mm-hmm. is the same one that we're talking about today.
Amen.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it.
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Farmington, thank you so much for spreading the Word of God. Through you, God reaches more people than you realize. From Hopkinsville, Father, we give not just to better a radio program or a ministry, but to bring about your kingdom. May this be a blessing to many. From Clarksville, may God bless your ministry. It has greatly helped me start my day. Also from Clarksville, thanks for your service to our Lord.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and penned from the heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
To exalt King Jesus, Missionary Radio.
And good morning to you, 726. Did you say that? Did you say? And you said it would, the temperature is what?
It's going to be 63 right now, but it's going to go as high as 79. But some rain is moving in.
Rain? What's that? I haven't seen any of that in so long.
Well, just stick around. You'll see it.
Oh, my
goodness. A few days of it anyway.
On the front porch with Brian Marshall, Sidebottom the First, I'm Ken Cummins, and glad to have you listening.
Yes.
Heard you say earlier about the support of the stations, and I want to remind our listening family that what Brian told you is the truth, but in case you didn't hear him, let me tell you again that we're in our Thank You Jesus Friendraiser season, and the money that we're collecting from you and me and Brian, now Brian's a supporter of the station too, so we're not asking you to do something that we're not doing ourselves. Mm-hmm. I want to get that across to your heart, mm-hmm. that when we're asking you, well, we have skin in the game too. And so here's the thing. The money that comes in through Friendraisers operating Missionary Radio, those other ministries, they got to stand on their own bottom.
Yeah.
But it does go through the same.
I
don't want to get lost in the weeds on budgets, but
yeah, yeah.
But anyway, that's that. I just want to make that perfectly clear.
Yes. Yes.
It's for 100% listener funded Missionary Radio.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how that works. Well, this morning we're talking about the post-resurrectional appearances of the Lord Jesus. I started off from something, and I don't mind. Sometimes you can just get really challenged from a meme, In case you miss it, I think it needs to be said again.
Go ahead.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate your permission.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well,
it's good stuff.
Bless you. Bless you, my friend. Yeah, this one, I don't know who give credit, but I like it. It says, if you went to church this Easter, there's a 99.9% chance that they're having church again this Sunday, too.
That's good. It's good.
I absolutely love that.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, put mic drop moment. Because
mic drop moment.
Boom.
Yeah.
Because there it is.
I don't know about you, but I get excited about going to church.
Oh, absolutely.
When Sunday rolls around, I'm ready to roll. I mean,
You mean Tamara doesn't have to kick you out of bed and say,
no,
get up, Brian?
Maybe sometimes, but
oh,
you know.
Okay.
but no, I mean, I love church. I love going. I love being around the people. I love, the study, the talk about Jesus, the worship, the music. I mean, everything. I love it.
What you just said, too, what goes on with other believers and even the challenges, the struggles, and the joys.
Oh, yeah.
All of it.
All of it.
Right.
And the thing is, and we know if we have any type of issues or problems, we always have an altar that we can go to, and we can lay that right down and turn it over to Jesus, and he'll help us.
Well,
he'll help us.
He promised he would.
Yes.
Well, we're talking about the resurrectional appearances of Jesus. Let me just tell you for your own study, there are 10 of them. Five of those took place during the first resurrection Sunday, and the final five would happen 39 days before his ascension. Let's talk about the first five, and I'm just going to, obviously, if I break down and read all the scripture, we wouldn't get through in a short time on the front porch, but I will just give an outline, and that way you can go at it yourself. First of all, let's talk about the first early Sunday morning. Mary Magdalene, when John 20, 11 through 17, also Mark 16, 9, Mary enters the empty tomb and believes Jesus' body has been stolen. Mm-hmm. That's John tells that story, John chapter 20. She reports this to Peter and John, who quickly run to the tomb and check this out for themselves. Now, Mary stood outside the sepulcher when she suddenly saw two angels inside. And the angels asked, why the tears? And I could only imagine Mary's, are you real? First of all, talking to an angel would be frightening.
Yeah.
But she says, because they've stolen the body. But suddenly, Jesus appears, not recognized by Mary, who assumed that he was the gardener.
Yep.
You recall that story,
putting
all that together. Well, he simply did something that I think is highly remarkable here. He called her by name. Which was enough for her to know it was the Savior. Let me just say, but I can't rush past that. He knows you by name.
Absolutely.
And the shepherd, we are his sheep.
Mm-hmm.
We know his voice. I have no zero about sheep. I've been around them some.
Yeah.
But I have worked with lots of animals, and they do know your voice.
Sure they do. Sure.
And they perk up.
Yeah.
And when her name was called, I'm sure tenderly, by Jesus, and she had been, 7 demons cast out of her, had a remarkable transformation by the Lord.
Mm.
And then so he simply called her a name, which was enough for her to know it was the Savior.
Mm.
So Mary shared this news with the disciples, but sounds familiar. They didn't believe her.
Oh, yeah.
So they had to see for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's on the Easter Sunday first thing. Now, the appearance before other women, and I am going to pull that one up because it is, it's all familiar, but still, this is only a couple of verses. It's before we get the Great Commission, which to me is where we ought to all be operating on. That's just not for the elite missionary, by the way. And this is Matthew chapter 28, if you are looking around, verses 9 and 10. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, rejoice! So they come and held him by the feet and worshiped him. That means they didn't hold him upside down. That means they fell at his feet.
Yes. Yes.
Let me just point that out.
Yeah.
Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid." Mm-hmm. Well, they were, of course.
Well, yeah.
You ever seen a dead man walking? That's okay.
Yeah.
"Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Yeah. And so that is interesting too. Fear not, he's not here, he is risen. So upon hearing that announcement, the angel of the sepulchre's report, it gives them the report. At this time, the soldiers assigned verse 11. "Now when they were going, behold, some of the guard came from the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened." And what did they want to do? They wanted to guard the tomb, there's going to be bribes going on, is what I'm trying to say. The soldiers were then bribed to say the disciples had taken the body. Now, that's sometime in the early morning hours. Now, and then here's Sunday afternoon. Now, in Luke chapter 24, verse 34, and also 1 Corinthians 15, 5, we find that he appears before Peter. Mm-hmm. Now, what's the big deal about that? Well, Peter would be used to preach the powerful sermon on the day of Pentecost. Mm-hmm. Peter's life was changed. I mean, he was always there, man. I always like him. I can identify with him. But anyway, I like it where he's at he's at the final supper, if you will.
Yeah.
And Jesus is washing their feet.
Yeah, I know.
And Jesus said, "I'm not going to wash your feet. You're Lord.
Not going to wash
then
my feet.
Then you have no part of me." And Jesus said, okay. "And not only my feet, wash them, Lord."
Mm-hmm.
He said, "I not only wash my feet, wash all of me, my head, my body, the whole thing." And then there's one we'll get at a little more. And then he appears, but not before Simon Peter. Here's the fourth one, the appearance before two followers en route to Emmaus. Mm-hmm. That's Luke chapter 24. That is an interesting story, and we'll mention more of that just in a moment. Let me just reiterate that this is familiar territory, but if you put all of it together and see the remarkable overall commonality that has taken place in this, once seeing the resurrected Jesus,
mm-hmm.
there wasn't any question then. And I've heard, "Well, when I see Jesus..." You're not going to get to heaven if you haven't seen Jesus already by faith.
That's true.
Think about it.
Very true.
Hi, I'm Johnny Erickson Tata with some thoughts about Psalm 15. And friend, if you're familiar with Psalms that sound impossibly challenging for the average Christian, then you know all about Psalm 15. Now, it starts off well enough, like, "O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell on your holy hill?" In other words, "O Lord, who gets to enjoy fellowship with you? Who do you delight in welcoming into your home?" Simple questions, but the answers are anything but. God's list of standards hit us hard, like a boxer landing multiple uppercuts on your jaw. So who is the person who dwells not only on God's hill, but God's holy hill? Psalm 15 answers like this. "He who walks blamelessly and does what is right, and speaks truth in his heart. He who does not slander with his tongue, and does no evil to his neighbor." The person who dwells on God's holy hill is the one who despises a vile person, but who honors those who fear the Lord. It's the one who swears to his own hurt, and does not change. He who does these things shall never be moved. Again, those are the words of Psalm 15. And you gotta wonder, who lives like that? What Christian walks blamelessly, speaks the truth, doesn't slander, does no evil, always does what's right, even when it costs him? Well, there you have it. Psalm 15 describes the person we are not. There is only one who walks blamelessly and always does what is right. There exists only one who's that good, and we are not him. It's why almost all theologians agree that this psalm actually points to Jesus Christ, the perfect man. And so, when Romans 8 tells us that we are to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, Psalm 15 tells us exactly what that should look like. It describes the character qualities of Jesus that we, in ever-increasing measure, should reflect to the world. And don't think it's impossible. Honestly, it can be done. God can change you bit by bit. As we focus on Jesus and his loveliness, 2 Corinthians says that the Spirit, quote, transforms us into the Son's image from one degree of glory to another, bit by bit. And so as you faithfully behold the glory of Christ and relish in the way he lived, his Spirit will transform you so that you resemble your Savior, gradually becoming more beautiful and more like Psalm 15. And I can envision you doing it. Really, I can. With God's grace, you can. I picture you walking with integrity, being honest before God and others. I picture you living righteously and not considering it a stuffy thing. I picture you feeling contempt for the kind of person who pursues and promotes wickedness. I see you speaking truthfully and avoiding gossip and nasty criticism. You won't act cowardly by slandering or robbing someone else of their good name. I see you respecting people, encouraging them, and even swearing to your own hurt, meaning that you'll keep your promises even when it costs you. You will not give money in hope of gaining something else. Friend, that is you, bit by bit, always changing, always being transformed. So keep looking to Jesus and keep reading Psalm 15, the character qualities that are for you a daily reminder of what it looks like to be Christ-like. Hey, I trust these are encouraging words for you, because every day I sure do love sharing hope through your hardships. And if you need prayer, don't forget, you can turn to us at johnnyradio.org.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's word in 60 seconds. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:24, "Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." I heard about a man that took his wife to a marriage counselor, and they told him all their problems. Finally, after an hour of listening, the counselor got up, walked around the desk, lifted her up out of the chair, and gave her a kiss that took her breath away. He turned to the husband and said, "That's what I prescribed 3 times a week for the next 30 days. The husband said, "Well, I'm pretty busy, but I can bring her here on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday." Not quite what the Bible means. Love is a 100-100 contract between a husband and wife. Enjoy each other. I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's word in 60 seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
All I have to do is turn on the radio, and there is a song or message that applies to my situation.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
There's power in the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Well, good morning. You're on the front porch. I'm Ken Cummins, along with Brian Marshall Sidebottom the First. And we're talking about the post-resurrectional appearances of Jesus. And we have gotten to Sunday afternoon of the Resurrection Sunday. And even this is a familiar story, as the two followers of Jesus are en route to Emmaus. Luke 24 records it, a remarkable story. And they're walking along, the unrecognized Jesus. He appears to Cleopas and his companion, the unnamed one, and he's accompanying them to Emmaus. And during the time he reminds them, it's like you have the resurrected Savior walking by you explaining the Scriptures. And I like the comment they say to him, "Don't you know what happened?" And here he is walking with them, and they do not recognize him at that point.
Yeah,
and so during the evening, that what happens? They invite him to go to the evening meal, and it was in the commonality mm-hmm. of the breaking of the bread that they recognized him. Mm. And I love this reaction. Mm-hmm. Didn't our hearts burn within us? Mm. Wow! Mm. Let me remind you, Jesus will appear. It's Christ in you and Christ in me, the hope of glory, Paul says. Right. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for the saints. And right now, the power of the Holy Spirit's in you and in me. And he heals, it seals you to the day of redemption. And let me say to you, he always points to Jesus. It's not about your thrill and my thrill. Mm-hmm. It's about his guidance. It's about his correction. It's about his peace. There's so many works of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. But one thing for sure, that it will be in those moments, those ordinary moments, mm-hmm. just like that was. So both of them quickly returned to Jerusalem and report to the disciples. So the word's spreading. Have you noticed that what happens, that we're still doing that?
Mm-hmm.
We're still proclaiming Jesus until he comes. Yes. We're told to do that. And that's what he says. He says, occupy till I come. Some people must take that to sit soaking sour, go sit, you know, they just go to church, get mad about it, and want everybody else to be like you.
That's right. That's true. Very true.
Very observation.
True. Observation.
Yeah. If that's all there is to it, no wonder the crowd that's not going to church anytime or that don't want any part of it. If there's no joy in your worship,
mm-hmm.
there's no joy in your relationship.
Yeah.
Well, these guys couldn't hold it back. And guess what? We met the one that was dead, was crucified between two thieves.
Amen.
Up on Skull Hill. Mm-hmm. Man, we talked to him. Well, you talked to him? Yeah, he walked with us on the road to Emmaus. What?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we had a meal with him.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of theology in that right there. Mm-hmm. Well, Sunday night, he appears before the 10 disciples in Jerusalem. He passes through solid doors and stands before them.
Mm. Passes through solid doors.
That's right. John 20:19 talks about that. And then he assures them he's not a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
I guess so. And it shows us that his resurrected body and gives us a hint about what it's going to be like for us. Mm-hmm. He eats broiled fish and honeycomb. Man, I don't like the diet, but that's what he does,
well,
according to Luke 24:41-43.
Sounds healthy, though.
Yes, RFK would be happy, wouldn't
yeah.
he? But this is Sunday night. Now, here's the remaining five. The appearance before the 11 in Mark 16:14 and John 20:24-29. This takes place on the second Sunday following Jesus' resurrection. Now, this fellow gets a lot of bad publicity. The so-called Doubting Thomas.
Well, I thought that's where he's going.
But he does, you know, have some doubts. But he also was willing to die with Jesus earlier and willing to go into Jerusalem. And he realized that his life could be taken, but he was willing to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Do we not drift sometimes?
Well, sure we do.
But look, this shows how personal Jesus is, but he uses it as a teaching moment. Thomas was absent during the previous Sunday, is now present. That shows what you're going to miss when you don't go to church.
There you go. Should have been in church.
He missed seeing Jesus.
Missed seeing Jesus. Mm-hmm.
Well, I can see Jesus out here on my bass boat. Boy, you can down there at that church house, can't I? I can meet up with Jesus more in my deer stand.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're trying to catch fish and you're trying to shoot deer.
Mm-hmm.
You're not concentrating on worshiping King Jesus.
Mm-mm.
Don't tell me that. Mm-mm. I am a hunter. Mm-mm. I know better.
Mm-mm.
Being outdoors does, if you believe in God, yes, it does bring us a serenity.
Oh, yeah.
That I give, but that's not serving the Lord like he told you to.
Mm-hmm.
And don't get mad at me, get mad at Jesus.
Mm, that's right.
I'm just his messenger.
Just the messenger.
But Jesus suddenly appears, removing all doubt from Thomas. How about that? Then he says something that absolutely is to be astonishing. He looks at Thomas and addresses him, but the other 10 that are there, and all believers throughout church history. This is a timeless moment.
Mm-hmm.
Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed.
Mm.
Ooh, that tells us for us now.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we hadn't had the extraordinary and the extra manifestations and all of that, and he shows up to him and he says, "You see here my scars.
Mm-hmm.
You look in my side."
Yeah.
And Thomas replies, "My Lord and my God."
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Have you seen Jesus? I think of the song by Larnell Harris and Sandy Patty, old song. Because I am old. But I've just seen Jesus. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, I don't tell you. You may be eating your Cheerios this morning, but I'm getting pretty excited.
Getting excited.
Think about this.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Now, Here's one, the seventh one, the appearance before the seven disciples while they're fishing in Galilee. Mm-hmm. That's John 21, where he tells them to feed the sheep. They'd been fishing all night, and they hadn't caught anything. Nothing. Mm. At Jesus' command, they cast the net on the right side of the boat and immediately took in 153 fish, according to John 21, 4 through 6, and also verse 11. Soon all seven knew it was Jesus who had issued the command. It says that in John 21, 7 through 9. Mm-hmm. Well, here's Jesus being a servant again. Mm. He prepared breakfast for all involved. Mm-hmm. Mm. I like that. Mm-hmm. He asks and receives a threefold affirmation that Simon Peter loved him. Now, I remember teaching this and took a different direction. And as an instructor, we're supposed to get across, this is the one thing that I want you to learn today. Mm-hmm. Well, what one thing? It's like Peter saying, how many times are you going to ask me that same question? Mm-hmm. Well, the average student has to hear something 37 times before they get it.
37 times.
Average student, not. Do you hear what I'm saying? 37 times. So I go for 74 myself.
Yeah, it might be more for me. Who knows?
Anyway. I said average. I'm just teasing you, Brian. I have to hear things over. I have to see it.
Yeah.
But anyway, he asked him that several times, well, three times, and he gets it across to him, you must feed my sheep. Then finally, he said this. He predicts that Peter would die a martyr's death, and he did. And so, but Peter did feed his sheep. But now here's the eighth one. He appears before 511, Matthew 28, and also Mark 16 and 1 Corinthians 15. It was before this large group of believers that Jesus spelled out the details for the Great Commission. Now, before you read the Great Commission, I'm not going to, but let me just say, before he tells us to go to all the world, he's still telling us. He hadn't changed his mind. We still have that mandate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not just for the elite.
True.
That's what we hired you to do, Pastor. That's mm-hmm. what we pay you to do, missionary. We'll give you what's left over to help you out.
That's for all of us to do.
If we're not, well, that's what he's saying here.
For all of us.
And there, as he's telling that group, the first thing they do is worship. And Acts chapter 13, before they sent them out, they were praying and fasting and worship, and the Holy Spirit spoke to them.
Mm-hmm.
See some indicators right there? Mm-hmm. You can't just sing the first and last verse of a couple of hymns and sit down, now it's your preacher.
No.
Are you getting my drift?
I got
Let's
you.
Worship the Lord.
I got you.
Worship Him. Mm-hmm. Don't hold back.
In spirit and in truth.
Yeah. That'd be a good idea. That's what he said. All right. In number nine, the appearance before his half-brother James. Ooh, that turned James's life upside down, inside out. Mm-hmm. That's 1 Corinthians 15:7. And the final appearance before his disciples in Jerusalem, he reminds them what he had already done, and he retells them what they are to do now. That's where we are.
Mm-hmm.
8 billion people occupy this world.
Yeah.
90% of them as of yet to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Where is your investment and my investment? Is it in myself, or is it in the resurrected Savior?
Mm.
The return on investment is supposed to be out of this world. You're only going to live for a short time.
That's it.
How many are you going to take to heaven with you?
Mm-hmm.
Just a serious question.
Good word.
Well, Brian's cutting me off again. I'm glad they don't do that on Sunday mornings. See you, Brian. God bless.
God bless. Thanks for listening to The Front Porch, and join us again tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.